Hello, and welcome to Moonwise Podcast, a space to find beauty from the heart of nature. I'm your host, Dorte Sophie Royal, and in this episode, I speak with Heather McKittrick about healing with flowers. We talk about going beyond traditional talk therapy with nature connection, presence, and creativity. We discuss the magic of flowers and why they show up during major life transitions. Heather shares her tips for bringing more joy into our lives during quarantine and leads us in a beautiful 7-minute guided floral meditation. But first, I want to send a big thank you to our new Patreon subscriber, Jennifer Watts. Every contribution helps to make this show possible. You can join us at patreon.com/moonwise, where I'm sharing a very special flower magic playlist full of songs to spark joy and inspiration. Okay, on with our show. Heather McKittrick is a licensed mental health therapist and certified substance use disorder counselor since 2017. She's the founder and creator of Floral Healing Therapy, the first therapeutic modality to incorporate fresh flowers in the therapy room. Hi, Heather. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Hi, yes. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to talk with you today about flowers and their healing powers. And I'd love to start by asking you when the flowers first came into your life.
Ooh, I think my most vivid memory of flowers, I grew up here in Portland in the Pacific Northwest. And so we have these beautiful trilliums that bloom in spring and summer, and they emerge out of the forest. And so they're often surrounded by just sticks and mud and dirt. And then there are these beautiful white blooms. And so I remember I was walking around my backyard, and it's kind of a wooded area, and there was a trillium there, and I picked it. And I don't think you're really supposed to pick them. And I remember I put it in this tiny little vase and I gave it to my mom. And I just, and then she told me like, oh, you know, it's so beautiful. These are really rare. You're not really supposed to pick them. And so in that moment, I realized like, whoa, like flowers are really magical. Like this plant, it's so rare. It produces this beautiful bloom. And so then ever since then, I really noticed them because they're so rare. So I think that was like my first vivid flower memory. And then I've also always been really connected to forget-me-nots because I remember those as a little kid and the tiny little blue blooms. So those are two of my most vivid memories. And it's once you connect to them, you start noticing them more.
I also have very vivid flower memories from childhood. I feel like children are on the physical level of flowers because they're closer to the earth and so they can notice a lot more. I see my son noticing like a tiny little mushroom or this tiny little flower that I never would have seen from my vantage point.
That's cool. Yeah, a different perspective.
I noticed on your website, you mentioned that you were missing creativity and nature connection in your therapy work, and so you made your own way to interact with clients. How did you come to create floral healing therapy?
Yeah. So I've been a licensed therapist and substance use disorder counselor for a few years now, and have been working with adults, treating all kinds of mental health concerns. So I specialize in trauma and depression and anxiety, and have also worked extensively with people with substance use disorders. And so we do a lot of talk therapy, and that's what I was doing before. I was primarily doing talk therapy, where you talk for an hour. And I was finding that it was reaching a certain point, and then we really needed more in order to go deeper with people. And I've always had that special connection to flowers, and I wanted to combine my two passions, so therapy and flowers. And I didn't want to like leave one of them behind to pursue one and not the other. And I think there's a lot of opportunity to create in the psychology field because it's relatively new. And so you could just do anything if it's going to be effective. And so I decided to incorporate flowers. What it is it's a virtual therapy session where you bring your own flowers and we start with a short grounding exercise to really bring you into the present moment. So, you know, it's kind of to shake off the morning that you've had and just arrive to the present moment. So we do that, and you connect with the flowers with your eyes open. So we just do that for a few moments, and then I really like structure. And so we'll talk about what do you want to work on today? What do you want to talk about? What's been going on for you? And then the client will decide what they want to talk about, and then they'll get started with arranging their flowers. And as we're going along, you know, not their arrangement isn't always on the screen. And so I'll ask them to like show me as they're making the flowers. And we might also like stop and see like what's coming up for them in the moment as they're arranging the flowers. They might even get an answer from the flowers. So for example, I had a client and she was really trying to think of a solution, like, and this required a creative solution. And she was really thinking about what the answer should be. And as we were talking, her flower was like right up to her ear on the video. Like it just looked like the flower was talking to her. And so I just, you know, stopped her and I said, hey, like that flower, like the way that it is on your video, I can see it's trying to tell you something. Like, are you willing to slow down for a moment and just listen and see what comes up? And she was open to it and she did it and she got a clear answer. And so I was like, okay, this is working. I love it. And so we do things like that, like here and now processing and mindful flower arranging. So just being very aware of the process. And then at the end, we do a short meditation, which I'll show you guys here. And then they set that intention for what they want their flowers to represent. So then they're reminded of it each time they look at their flowers, wherever they display it in their home.
There's something so soothing about working with your hands while you're talking about something. I think humans have evolved to be shucking something or weaving or pounding grains. And that's really where great conversations happen, around the kitchen counter while everyone's like peeling potatoes. I wonder if there's a different state of mind that people go into when they're doing something with their hands.
Yeah, I love how you highlighted that, because I think you're right. I think it's a natural instinct that we have to be doing something with our hands, and then especially to be connecting to something from the natural world. And so I've noticed that it's really helpful for people who are new to therapy also to be arranging the flowers, because it takes some of the pressure off. Like, you're not just staring at one another face to face, you're playing with flowers. And so it's like a really beautiful experience. And I believe that, I haven't done research on it yet, so I can't say definitively, but I really do believe that when you're arranging flowers, you're moving more into your right creative brain and out of your left logical brain. And so when you're doing that, you're able to approach your problems and your stressors and your life and what you're going through in a new way and from a new perspective.
I imagine that for some folks, they have memories of being in nature as a child, and perhaps it brings us back to that childlike sense of wonder and play that opens the mind. When I'm in nature, I feel a sense of possibility and movement within myself that I don't feel as much indoors. My mind feels a bit more flexible and expanded, like the joy and wonder of the natural world sparks something.
It does, yeah. And so when clients come into floral healing therapy and they stay open to that, like open to that wonder or open to that sense of possibility, I think that they're surprised how healing the flowers can be and how much is there within this flower arrangement.
Plus, I can imagine that at the end of a session, you've created something beautiful, and what a fulfilling feeling.
Exactly. Yeah, because I think right now with so much technology and less creativity, we don't have that sense of accomplishment as much as we used to when we were kids or just before our smartphones. And so you take a few bouquets from the grocery store for the session, you arrange them while we're talking. And then at the end, like, people are surprised by how beautiful it is, or, you know, they have these moments of like self-doubt, like, oh, you know, I don't know about this arrangement, or it's not quite doing what I want. And then at the end, it's like, wow, this is so beautiful. And I made this.
I love that. And certain flowers do have scents that are tiny particles that go into your nose and actually stimulate parts of your brain. So in a way, a person is in communication with flowers just by smelling them. And that does bring a different viewpoint.
Yes, absolutely. And so in the meditations, oftentimes I'll encourage people to tune into the scent of the flowers. So usually with their eyes closed, smelling the flowers. And yeah, so those are connected to memories or can be soothing in itself. And so with the floral healing therapy, you're talking through your issues, you're talking through your stressors, and then you're getting these naturally built-in benefits of the flowers at the same time.
So you work with a lot of folks dealing with depression, anxiety, and PTSD, and I'm wondering why you think nature connection is so healing for those issues in particular.
Well, I think that with anxiety, it often leads people to want to kind of rush through things, maybe not intentionally, but you might go through your day a little bit more rushed or really worried, and the flowers are able to slow you down and bring you into the present moment. And so they're really helpful for people with anxiety to naturally help calm them down and become more mindful. And then with people who have experienced trauma, it's not always so beneficial to just talk about trauma. And so when you're interacting with the flowers and reflecting on something that may have been traumatic in the past, it feels safer. It feels more contained, and you have a naturally soothing element that you're interacting with in the moment as you're discussing your trauma or processing your trauma. And so it feels safe and soothing, and also can change your relationship to the story because it's, you know, you're doing something beautiful in the moment.
I'm thinking about major life transitions and celebrations, like my son just had his first piano recital, and that's a time when you bring someone flowers, right? Or when they're performing or graduating or when they're getting married or when they pass away. Flowers are involved in all these major life transitions, and so we have something about us that if we're going through a difficult time or a joyful time, flowers are near. We want to have flowers around us.
Do you have any ideas about why you feel compelled to give people flowers during those times?
Well, I have a little saying, when hope is dear, keep flowers near. And so for me, they always feel good to have them in the house, to notice them when I'm taking a walk outside. And I know I'm really having a hard time if I'm not noticing the flowers. So I think humans have evolved to be in connection and communion with the natural world. And flowers are such a beautiful way of showing the essence of life. I think they remind us how beautiful we are inside because we're related to all of nature. So I personally aspire to be more like a flower, and I want to be colorful and fragrant and bring joy and fertility and life and renewal.
Yeah. Well, and you're right. You are reminded of the beauty when you see them in your home. And it's also important how you highlighted how oftentimes we give flowers to other people. And we aren't always buying them for ourselves. And part of the work that I do is helping people be proud of themselves and to give themselves credit for what they're doing well. You know, so you have your piano recital. Well, buy yourself some flowers. Or like you started therapy, buy yourself some flowers. Like you're doing awesome. You should treat yourself. And then what we do at the end of the session is we do a meditation and people put an intention into the flowers for what they want them to represent. And so then you're going to be reminded of that intention every time you see the flowers, just like you would be reminded of the person who gave you the flowers if you got them as a gift.
It also occurs to me that flowers are a reproductive system for creating life on the planet. So there is built-in renewal there and transformation. There's a lot.
There's a lot, and there are a lot of metaphors for what we're going through emotionally. And I love just like hearing you talk about flowers because you become expansive when you talk about them. And I think that for people who are called to do floral healing therapy with me, they're also called to flowers in a really special way. And so again, when you're open to that, you can really transform.
I'm curious if you have a favorite flower or favorite flower of the moment and why.
Oh man. I think my favorite flower right now, and most of the time, I'm going to say is a gardenia. And it's because of the scent. So they smell so sweet, and they do grow here in the Pacific Northwest. And you can notice them before you can even see them because of the strong scent. And I also love how the petals are so buttery and soft and spiraled, and they're rare. They're just magnificent. Whenever I see one, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is some type of sign or like something good is happening. Ranunculus, do you know those ones? Yeah, those are, I think, becoming more mainstream, but still somewhat rare, but they're just like the layers and layers of petals that those have. Yeah, extraordinary.
I don't know if you've had this experience, but I've had certain flowers pop up in my life during specific phases, or they'll actually grow outside my home. So for a couple of years, even though I moved, calla lilies would sprout up near my door, and it was very magical. And so I, of course, looked into the properties of calla lily and the history and folk meanings of it. And it was interesting to think, okay, wow, like calla lily is showing up as an ally right now.
I love how you looked it up. So we're so blessed to have information readily accessible. And so when you do see those flowers popping up, definitely Google it and see like, okay, what is going on here?
And I think also paying attention to what the flower feels like to you, because it could be specific to your own life story. It could be a color that reminds you of something. It can have its own meaning for you that might be different from the official meaning.
Yeah. And even doing that and not Googling it and just having it be true for you and your own truth. Like that's really beautiful too.
I'm wondering if you have advice for folks at home right now, living during quarantine. What advice do you have for bringing more joy and nature connection into their daily lives?
Well, that is so important right now because we are at home so often. And especially right now, like I look outside and there aren't that many colors out. It's winter time and it's just not as vibrant as it is in the spring and the summer. And so what I would say is that you can go to your grocery store and buy flowers and bring them home and do a mindful flower arrangement. So what that means is put away your cell phone and take some time to pay attention to your breathing and really interacting with the flowers and arranging them in a really special way so that you get that sense of accomplishment. So I think arranging flowers is a really good coping skill for right now. And then also going to therapy, of course. There are like all of the therapists, we're doing virtual sessions. So we're offering therapy over the phone. You know, if you want to just like chill and talk on the phone and get some therapy, you can do that. If you want to, you know, have a bit more energy into it, you can do a virtual session over video. And therapists help you come up with goals and help keep you accountable. And they're also trained to listen to you and be non-judgmental and allow you to be fully yourself. And I think that right now people have a lot of time to think and a lot of time to be with themselves, and things are coming up. And so you might want to talk to a professional about that. So going to therapy, of course. And then also I love to help people give themselves more credit for what you're already doing well. So we can be so inclined to want to do more or take more steps to do something awesome or always be working on something productive. And I think that if we stop and take inventory of what we're already doing, we're doing quite a bit. And so saying things to yourself like, I'm proud of you, or keep up the good work, or like, wow, you did that today. That's awesome. I think that can help people experience more joy right now during the whole pandemic. One thing that is really good is to start noticing when you might be feeling like, oh man, I haven't had fun for a while, or I could use some joy in my life. And so once you've identified that you're looking for something to bring you a little bit more joy, to pause and ask yourself directly, what is one little thing I could do right now to feel a little bit better? And I think taking some of that pressure off to like do something big or do something that's going to make a huge difference or something that takes a lot of energy. Like, what's one small thing you could do? So whether it's going outside and taking 5 deep breaths of fresh air, that would probably help you feel a little bit better. And so asking yourself those intentional questions and then taking action on them and noticing how you feel before and after. And then I also have a list of 25 coping skills on my blog that you can check out, and those will help with anxiety. And then I think you're a big proponent of this, Dorotay, but singing and dancing and using your voice, those are just wonderful ways to connect to yourself and spirit and the moment. So doing creative things like that too.
I love that you mentioned small things and small goals, because there's some pressure out there that says like, okay, we're in quarantine, now it's time to write your book or become an accomplished painter or something. And for so many of us, me included, I found a lot of joy and comfort in the small things, like I made my bed, or I made my table look inviting, or I lit a candle at breakfast. That's my new favorite. They really do make a difference throughout the day.
They do. Yeah. And I love how you're giving yourself credit and really noticing those things that you're doing.
May we all give ourselves more credit, because this is a lot that we're going through.
It's a lot that we're going through, and there's a lot that we're doing well that we might not be noticing.
So for those who are struggling with depression, how has floral healing therapy worked in helping with that issue?
So with depression, it's often hard to get yourself motivated to do things. And so having that arrangement that you created might be a sense of accomplishment that you haven't felt in a while. And so it connects you back to that, and it increases your self-efficacy. So when you do something well, you gain confidence in being able to do something else well again. And so if you build on these small successes, then you're going to start to feel better. And so having the flowers with the therapy, it's something beautiful for you to connect to. The colors are really bright, so they can be a natural mood booster. And then that sense of mindfulness too, and connecting to the flowers, it brings you back into your body, brings you into the present moment, and it makes you feel good and pleasurable when you may not really be feeling like that in many other areas of your life.
So it's almost like you're training your brain, you're giving it a feeling so that it can recognize that or work toward that again.
Yeah. Yeah. You're strengthening that brain pathway to be able to do something creative again or something beautiful again, or to notice the intricacies of the flowers or intricacies of life.
So much in life is about having the presence to really notice and then let the appreciation and the gratitude and the good feelings come from actually noticing what's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's a lot there when you tune in.
What are some of the intentions that people have set while working with the flowers?
Yeah, so that's always really fun to hear what my clients come up with. Oftentimes the intentions will be related to what we've been talking about in the session. And so through the guided meditation, usually I'll encourage people to tune into like what the flowers are really trying to send them or give them, or what they're picking up within the flower's energy to create their intention. So then again, they're moving into that creative side of their brain, and they're even looking externally to the flowers for an answer. And then sometimes people just know automatically, like, this is what I need to work on. This is what I need the arrangement to represent this week. And so some of the ones that my clients have come up with would be trusting my inner voice was one. And I was like, that is awesome. That's, you know, if we could all do that, wow, how beautiful. And then another one was when she saw the flowers, she's asking herself, did I take time for myself today? And then, you know, yes or no. And if not, then again, asking herself, okay, what can I do right now to get some me time? So then, you know, she saw her flowers multiple times a day and got to ask herself that and do nice things for herself. So it's a great reminder. And then slowing down and being more present. So say you're rushing around your house or your apartment, and then suddenly you look at your flowers and you're like, oh, I could like slow down a little bit. I could be a little bit more aware of the present moment. And so the flowers are a reminder, and they last for about a week, sometimes more or less. And they're a reminder of what you can do to be kind to yourself and what you can do to be more present.
I love that. And it occurs to me while you're speaking that flowers are such a wonderful reminder of being unapologetically yourself. Flowers aren't trying to hide or be small or not too bright or not too big or not too beautiful. They're just blooming forth in all their majesty. And we can too.
Yes, absolutely. We don't need to play small or change in any way. Like, we are good enough as we are.
And flowers are also so beautiful in their diversity. And a tulip isn't feeling envious of a rose, and a hawthorn flower isn't like, oh, I wish I was jasmine. They're all doing their beautiful fragrance, their color, resonance, and signature in their very own way. You just can't compare them. They're all amazing, and so are we.
Yeah, and so if we could let go of that comparison a little bit and feel more confident in who we are and how we are exactly as we are right now, we can be more like flowers in that sense, and we can feel better.
So will you be training other therapists to offer floral healing therapy in the future?
I definitely want to train other therapists to do floral healing therapy. And that's one of the things that I'm working on, is coming up with standardized ways to do the therapy, because that's what the field really wants. And that's what we need to do to create that structure and safe space for people. And then naturally the flowers just give so much creativity. And so I would love to train other therapists, and yeah, I hope soon.
Yeah, it would be great to see more people offering this. And I want to encourage our listeners to go buy yourself some flowers if you can, or go pick some, bring some color into your life as we get closer to spring. So for listeners who are curious about this process, you so generously have offered to lead us in a guided meditation. So for our listeners, you can get flowers if you want and come back to this meditation, or you can visualize flowers in your mind if you don't have access to them. But one thing is, if you're driving, you'll have to save this part for later.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's dive in. So if you have some flowers, go grab those. Even if you have a plant in your home, you could grab that. And if you don't have either of those, just choosing something to look at in detail and be curious about, that can work for the meditation too. So with this meditation, we'll go for about 7 minutes. And so you'll just get started by grabbing your flowers and keeping your eyes open. So this will be an eyes open and eyes closed meditation. And so just start by taking some long and deep breaths with your eyes open and holding your flowers. Just breathing long and deep. Just noticing and looking, breathing deeply. Oftentimes when we're stressed or really busy, we're taking short, shallow breaths. So just give yourself permission to take some long, deep breaths, longer than you have all day. And then keeping that breath pattern really looking at your flowers and also starting to engage with them. So touching the petals and the leaves, smelling your flowers, and just noticing them in all their glory. Noticing the textures and the shapes, the color variations. Seeing how the flowers are resting against each other, or where they might be standing out on their own. And just noticing and breathing deeply. And then setting your flowers down, we'll transition to the eyes closed portion of the meditation. So if you're comfortable with it, closing your eyes, continuing to breathe deeply. And with your eyes closed, see if you can sense where the flowers are in relation to your body. And just tune into that sense of where the flowers are, what they feel like close by. And if your mind races, that's okay. Just return your mind to the two focal points of the meditation, which are your breath, so long, deep breathing, and the flowers, sensing where they are in relation to your body right now. Just noticing without expectations, breathing and noticing. And then with your eyes closed, choosing an intention that you want your flowers to represent for the next week or so. Just seeing what comes up. You could get the idea directly from the flowers themselves, or maybe you have something in mind. What is an intention you want to be reminded of when you see your flowers? And then when you have that intention, we'll shift back to eyes open. So open your eyes and look at your flowers. Notice how beautiful they are, how vibrant they are. And then with your eyes open, checking in with your flowers just to make sure that intention is the one that you want to set for the week and then tweaking it in any way you might want to. Continuing to breathe long and deep. And then noticing three things about your arrangement or your flowers that you didn't initially notice, and just silently see what they are. And then slowly start preparing to come out of the meditation, returning your breathing back to normal. And then we'll come out of the meditation and you can share what your intention is. And remember to give yourself some credit and some gratitude for taking the time to do a meditation today. And that's a floral healing meditation.
Thank you so much, Heather. That was so beautiful. I was looking into my backyard where there's a hawthorn tree, and there are these beautiful pink and red flowers blooming.
Ooh, lucky. Did you set an intention?
Well, my intention is to bring more of this kind of energy in my life and to share it with others. So I was thinking about that, the slowing down to really notice and to appreciate the beauty that's all around us.
Wonderful. So now when you look at your tree, you can be reminded of that intention.
Yes, and I'm very happy to let everyone know that Heather and I will be offering some flower workshops this spring and summer. The first one will be on Saturday, March 20th on Spring Equinox at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. It will be an intimate gathering to cultivate joy and nature connection, and it will include a flower mandala practice and guided meditation. It's going to be so fun, and I may just wear a flower crown for the occasion. We're limiting it to just 12 participants, so if you're interested, go to moonwise.co/events to register. And make sure you're on the Moonwise mailing list to get updates about fun future workshops as well. So for those who want to find out more about Heather's work or explore floral healing therapy, where can we find you online?
Yes, so floralhealingtherapy.com is my website. And then I'm also on Instagram and Facebook at Floral Healing Therapy. And I love connecting with people on there. So you can find me there and it's easy to contact me. And also I have a really simple scheduling tool. If you're located in Oregon and Washington, that's where I'm licensed. And so I can offer you virtual services and I have a free consultation if you want to chat more about the process before you make a decision.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I hope everyone gets to have more nature and more flowers in their lives. And please stay tuned for our upcoming workshops. I'd love to have some of our listeners join and go in more depth with this beautiful process.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm really excited for our events and they're virtual, so accessible to many people. And I'm really looking forward to those. And then, yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was really fun. And I loved watching you light up as you talked about the flowers.
Any excuse to talk about or wear or be around flowers, I'm there.
Exactly.
Thank you for listening to the show. You can hear more episodes on moonwise.co or subscribe to the Moonwise podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate us and leave a review. Reviews help others find the podcast, and I read each and every one. Thank you so much for your support. Our theme music is Butterflies March from Sophie Cooper's album Rewilding. See you next time.